For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Score!
Yeah, and he's been amazingly helpful. You know, such a significant part of why I was drawn to him, besides just the fact that he's a tremendous worker and a really great person and really intelligent, was that he learned in an excellent organization, and one that is forced to almost do everything through the lens of development, right? Like the Guardians, Indians, they never have the ability to spend in free agency. You know, I think they're able to extend Jose Ramirez, and that's one of the first, you know, star players they've been able to extend in the past. They've had to trade the guys like Kluber, they've had to trade guys like Lindor away. And so everything is viewed through the lens of development.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock talking baseball. That was the familiar voice of Jed Hoyer earlier this week on The Score talking about our next guest. And it's a privilege to go out to the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, where we find Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins. Good morning, Carter. How are you?
Morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning in the midst of playoff baseball later today. I know you will be watching with interested. Cleveland is on the brink of taking the lead against the Yankees. That's going to be something, I'm sure, around the rest of the series of much interest to you. Let's start here with the Cubs, though. We heard from Jed Hoyer, your boss, the team president, earlier in the week, talk about intelligent spending being the buzzwords this offseason. How would you interpret what Jed meant by intelligent spending?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the buzzword, and you know, I think it was the buzzword last offseason as well. I mean, I think you could juxtapose that to non-intelligent spending, right? And then it's like, okay, well, we certainly always want to do smart spending and make sure that we're making decisions that don't hurt the Cubs, you know, either now or in the future. And that's just making sure that we're looking at the whole picture as we make our decisions and using that lens. And our hope is that when we do that, we're able to build the special product that our fans deserve. And, you know, that's the lens we'll use this offseason. But my guess is we'll use it every offseason after this as well.
Carter, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure talking to you. And I imagine there's no predicting what the Chicago Cubs will do. And by that, you know, I'll preface it by just saying you are in a rebuild. You are looking to build through your organization. But like every good organization, you need to plug in free agents from time to time for different reasons. All of them built usually around trying to win. But, you know, I reported earlier in our show that Jose Abreu would be on your list and other people's list of people of interest in the offseason. How should a Cub fan get their head around looking at free agency for the Chicago Cubs during this period of time and try to detect and think along with you and Jed as to what players fit at the right time?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can look at the roster of available free agents and look at, you know, where we might have opportunities to upgrade and make a reasonable guess as to the type of players that we'd be targeting and the agents that we'll be talking to. But to your point, there's just so many different options in terms of how the offseason will play out, you know, and just in terms of, you know, where do players want to play, you know, what types of deals do we make, when do we make them, like just all these different variables that make predicting exactly what's going to happen, obviously, you know, impossible. But you look back to last offseason, I think we spent, you know, six most out of 30 teams in terms of adding to our 2022 roster. And, you know, it took us from where our baseline was prior to all of those moves, prior to the Stroman, prior to Suzuki, et cetera, you know, to a spot that we ended up with in 2022. And this year we're going to look to continue to build in the same way, you know, where we, you know, have the baseline where we are right now and then build on top of that. And hopefully play a little bit better early on in the season and capture some of the momentum from this last second half and put ourselves in a really competitive position. So that's the goal. And to predict exactly what that's going to look like, I don't know. But our hope and our plan here is to be better and to be significantly better.
Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager, is our guest here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Okay, Carter, it has been about a year since you were hired to join the Cubs organization. I just wonder how quickly it has gone. What has been your biggest impression of living in Chicago and working for the Cub organization? And how would you describe your role in the decisions that are about to be made in this offseason?
Yeah, a little bit to unpack there. I mean, I think when people talk to me about what it's like, you know, living with, well, we got three kids that are under 3 years old right now, and they say, you know, the days are long and the years are short. I think that's probably a accurate representation of being a GM or, you know, working with Jed here for the first year. You know, long days that, you know, a lot of work, a lot of challenges, a lot of things that we're digging into, but, you know, it feels like, you know, I think literally today was the day that I signed my contract. And so, you know, we're a year past that. It seems like that was yesterday, but I've enjoyed every single second of it despite those long days. It's such a fulfilling role. It's such a fulfilling organization, and just in terms of how much people care, not just the people within our organization, but the city of Chicago and the fans around the world. Like, there's no place like here. And now living it for a year, I can say that with great confidence. I mean, even in the second half, before we had started our little run, you know, our fans were still showing up in droves. They're still supporting our players. They still cared. Like, that's an advantage for us. That is 100% an advantage for us. Our players feel it. They talk about it. They talk about this is the place they want to be. And we want to continue to capture that advantage. But it's been super fun. I mean, working with Jed's been outstanding. You know, I really feel like we're a true partnership. We complement each other well and really just involve each other in every major decision. You know, end of the day, he's a president. You know, he gets to make the final call. But I don't think that we've had any decisions that we made at this point that, you know, we didn't get to a place where we both felt really good about it. So can't say enough great things about it and look forward to hopefully many more years.
Carter, let's be honest. The most important thing is whether or not you're eating deep dish pizza now, and whose you like, and if you know how to order a Chicago style beef sandwich, and know what to get on it, whether wet or dry, jardiniere or no jardiniere, know the position of how to hold the sandwich so it doesn't get on you when you bite into it. These are the things that are most important in Chicago, but.
Bruce, I clearly need a Chicago 101 lesson with you at some point here. So let's carve out a Tuesday afternoon. We'll sit down together. You can walk through all the things. I can't be going into a restaurant, to your point, and messing that up. So I will put that on my list of things to learn this year.
Okay, that's great. As far as the coaching staff goes, you're the general manager of this team. I know you and Jed and the rest of the front office sit down and talk about it. Jed talked about the fact that you guys aren't ready to name that front office yet. The coaching staff at this point. What are some of the parameters you look at during the season to decide, you know, whether or not functionally you have the right men in the right spot? I mean, you guys might be delaying this coaching situation just because you might take the same coaches you have and move them to different positions. So from that perspective, what are you looking for as you evaluate your staff as well as your players here?
Yeah, I'll try to answer the question as directly as possible. You know, I think, you know, that word process comes up a lot. I think I've been made fun of saying it a little bit too much, and I've tried to cut it back after my wife told me I said it too much as well. But we have to go through a process at the end of the year to make sure that we're reviewing our season as objectively as possible and try to understand our progress on the different strategic priorities or different goals that we put in place. As it relates to the organization, there's kind of three big ones. Like, we want to acquire players well, we want to develop players well, we want to optimize them once they get up to the major leagues. When we think about the major league staff, it's really about optimizing our major league players. Sure, there's development there. Like, sure, we want to continue to grow. Sure, we want to continue to get better at the major league level, but you know, the big leagues is the real world, and performance matters, and how we get to that performance matters. And so at the end of this year and at the end of every year, we'll go through a pretty robust process of talking to all of our players, talking to all of our staff, working through things in the front office, looking at any information that we've gathered over the year, just try to make a decision on, are the people and the process that we have in place, are they optimizing our players? to be outstanding major league players or to get the most out of their abilities. And that's what we're working through right now. We're probably going to wrap it up, you know, early next week and have some decisions at that point, but we're not going to skip that step for sure.
Carter, that was an effective process of answering that question. Just tell your wife.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Very effective job. All right, let's look at the minor league depth because Jed Hoyer referenced that earlier in the week. And I thought he made an interesting point about the fact that the quality of the depth almost outweighs the star power in the organization, unlike what it was maybe back in 2014, obviously before you were here. But some of his points were valid ones. But I want to focus on two guys specifically who might not be stars per se, but are names that we're familiar with. Brendan Davis, who has had a difficulty this past summer, this past season with injuries. Where is he and how did his health affect his projections? And then Caleb Killian, who had a cameo at Wrigley over the summer and still has a bright future, but wonder what his offseason will look like and what are expectations for him.
Yeah, I mean, so to really unpack the depth question, you know, I think, you know, it's interesting looking back at, you know, where the Cubs came from and what happened in that run leading up to 16 was, you know, unheard of, you know, to have that many heralded prospects, all who make significant impact to an organization. Like, I just have not seen that outside of, you know, that one time. Everywhere else, all other 29 teams, they just don't know. And they don't know who's going to make an impact at the major league level. No one knew that Jose Ramirez was going to be Jose Ramirez. People thought Shane Bieber was good. Did they think he was a Cy Young winner? Absolutely not. And then you can also look at the Cubs and look at guys like Kyle Hendricks, who weren't even on, you know, a top 30 list going into the season, that, you know, he made really large impact on the Cubs, I think, in 2014 or 2015. And so the answer is having more lotto tickets, having more depth is certainly a strength of the farm system. I think that's a great strength to have. I'd almost rather have that than the alternative, because you can look at all these other systems and, you know, these quote unquote top guys that never pan out. And the answer is, hey, let's just make sure we just try to develop these guys the best we can and, you know, and give them as many opportunities to grow. And that'll put us in a really good place. One of those pieces of depth you talked about was Brennan. You know, obviously he's over in the Arizona Fall League right now, trying to get a little bit caught up on his lost season due to his back injury early. So we're excited about just getting him some reps. But yeah, he's a guy with a lot of upside that, you know, we feel like can impact our major league outfield soon. And just getting him reps should put him in a really good place.
Carter Hawkins, our guest, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. And Carter, I guess I'll ask you this question about winter ball. It seems that teams these days would rather see their players at their complexes early and get involved in October and then again in January with, you know, with eyes and hands on, rather than see them going to Dominican or to Puerto Rico to play baseball these days, not too much to Venezuela anymore. What do you think are the reasons for that? And am I right in assuming that teams seem more reticent to send their players to winter ball now?
You know, I think it's really about the individual and what they need. You know, if we're talking about just competitive playing and competitive at-bats or competitive innings, like, winter ball is the place to do that. If you ever go down to a Dominican Winter League game, I mean, that is intense. You have to win that day. If you don't win that day, if you don't perform that day, like, you're done. Like, it's over. You know, you get managers fired, you know, almost on a weekly basis. You know, players getting released almost on a weekly basis. It's the closest thing to the major league that you can get in terms of that. If you're talking about getting bigger, getting stronger, working on fundamental adjustments that are harder to do when you have that pressure, like, going to your complex is more effective. And it's really just looking at what that player needs in a particular offseason and trying to match that up. So I wouldn't say we're more reticent to send players to winter ball. I'd say we're just a little bit more deliberate on how we put together our plans and the environment in which to do that.
Carter, I know executives and managers sometimes hate comparisons, but I do want to know, when you look at the Cubs organization right now and the emphasis on young pitching, and I think that we saw in the second half especially how many young pitchers seem to come up and rise up and raise the level of play. And now all of a sudden you look at the Cubs core and the depth that we talked about is based around a lot of these young pitchers. You came from an organization. You kind of established your reputation being a part of a group in Cleveland that knew how to develop pitchers. Not that there's any one or two secrets to that process, if you will, but I do think do wonder, do you see any similarities? What are the similarities in the young pitching that the Cubs are trying to develop and eventually rely on, and the process that took place in Cleveland that now we're seeing has had such success?
Yeah, I think the biggest similarity I'm seeing, you know, in terms of the players that have come up and had some success here this year, you know, those guys have gone through, here's that word again, a process over the last 2 years to get from where they were to where they are right now. And I think what has made that really effective is that all of our Cubs personnel have been pulling in the same direction with all of those guys. There was a clear plan in place. There were clear adjustments that we were trying to make. Oftentimes that was, you know, adding strength, adding velocity, or, you know, very specifically trying to change a pitch type or pitch shape. But you didn't have people pulling in different directions like these guys are Stretch Armstrong. And I think that's something you see in a lot of organizations when there's not communication, when there's not clear process. And it just makes players stall out. But what we're seeing right now is kind of the fruits of a really disciplined process, a really unidirectional organization. And that's what we're continuing to build here. And obviously, we have to continue to sharpen what we're doing and try to make sure that we're staying ahead of the competition. But literally just moving in the same direction with a bunch of people is such a competitive advantage. And, yeah, we're seeing the fruits of that now.
Carter, in closing, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great of you to take some time out and get your voice out to the Cub fans for what some of the offseason may look like for the Chicago Cubs. I'm wondering about Ian Happ. You know, certainly a number one pick in this organization, a guy who has prospered from hard work and coaching in the Cub system, and now approaching the last year of a contract before possible free agency in November of 2023. Without saying, yeah, we've sat down and we started to talk to his agent about a new contract. What do you think the future holds for Ian and the Chicago Cubs? Because it's a real nice story from 2022 till now about what he was able to accomplish.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that therein lies the challenge in trying to predict the future for him. I think if anybody had said that, you know, Ian would have the year that he had, be an all-star, you know, after kind of the path that he's taken, like, no one would have believed you except for Ian. And I think that's the point. Like, he has worked his tail off to put himself in a position to not only contribute to the Cubs in the way that he has, but establish himself as one of the better, you know, left fielders in the game and one of the better, you know, switch hitters in the game. And, like, that's, you know, his plan, that's what he put together, and, like, he deserves a ton of credit for that. So, you know, we could say, you know, we expect more of the same, but who's to know that he's not going to just absolutely raise the bar even higher next year, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to help him do that by giving the resources that he needs. And, you know, we're super excited as well just about his ability to share some of those lessons, share the things that he's gone through with the rest of the club, because he's kind of the elder statesman now. You know, he and Nico, believe it or not, are the veterans on this club. And I think for him to share about, you know, what he's gone through and how his success has not been linear, but the hard work that he's put in to get to where he is, I think that's going to be really beneficial for all our guys.
Carter, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck this offseason and some of the decisions you'll have to make. And really good luck getting Bruce to kind of, you know, buy lunch when you are having that Chicago one-on-one meeting.
I'm not going to bring my wallet, Bruce, but I will bring my notepad.
Carter, I will tell you one thing. A beef sandwich, for the most part, for most Chicagoans, is something that you eat standing up. Okay, so there is a position. There's a position and a way not to get it on your clothes, and we will go over that. I promise you, you will be an experienced Chicago-style beef sandwich eater before we're done.
All right, as long as it's like a meet me at the ninth hole at 9 o'clock type of thing, I'm good. So okay. Yeah, I don't want to be the only guy standing up in the restaurant, but yeah, I'm on.
Carter Hawkins, the general manager for the Chicago Cubs, joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse. Where are you going to get that kind of insight anywhere else, Bruce? How to eat a beef sandwich here on the Score every Saturday morning, 9 to 11. Talking baseball and beef 52 weeks a year. When we come back, one of our favorite segments, it's Chicago Bound. Who are we going to be bringing to town or back to town? There's a tease right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That you all should know, Chicago is the greatest place I ever know. I'm gonna stay in this town, I'm gonna live in this town, I'm gonna live in Chicago, the greatest place around.
The Cubs and Sox are off for the winter, but inside the clubhouse starts the hot stove discussion now. David and Bruce take a look at which free agents and trades the Cubs and Sox should explore. Will Jose Abreu be back on the South Side? Will Wrigley Field be the next home for Aaron Judge or Trey Turner? Does Wilson Contreras as a Cardinal make sense? You help them make the call. 312-644-6767.
Yeah, I mean, you get it. It's basically like, as a kid, you don't understand, you know, you're like, I just want to play baseball. Then you start understanding the business when you get into professional baseball. You know, there's only so much a team can do. You know, it's not like they didn't want me on their team. The Sox wanted me, like, and I gladly would have came back, but sometimes you have to explore other options.
Welcome back. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, Bruce Levine, David Haw, Chicago Bound. We're going to do it every Saturday morning about possible free agents, possible trades, possible players coming back to play for the Cubs or the White Sox. That was the voice of Carlos Rodon, the former White Sox pitcher. And to bring people up to date, at the top of the program, way back in the 9 o'clock hour, Bruce Levine reported that the Cubs will consider Jose Abreu as a free agent, may even pursue him to play first base on the north side. But Abreu's former White Sox teammate, Carlos Rodon, also on the list of free agents, also would help the Cubs. Also a possibility, Bruce. I thought that Jed Hoyer might have ruled Rodon out earlier in the week, by the way he described what he would be seeking in terms of quality innings, but what do you think about that possibility?
I don't know. Rodon threw a lot of quality innings this year. It's the first year he got through an entire season since he was signed by the White Sox as their number one pick, I think, in 2013. It was the first year that he pitched an entire season without being hurt. And we know the quality that he brought to 2021. First-time All-Star, made the All-Star team again this year. He's been fabulous and one of the best pitchers in baseball, and his agent, Scott Boras, will take him out to free agency, stepping away from a guaranteed second year with the Giants and making $21 million. First of all, David, I'll ask you, playing ball with Carlos Rodon for the Cubs or for the Chicago White Sox, what's it going to take to sign Carlos Rodon?
Well, that's a really good question. He's going to want a long-term deal that reflects the durability that he showed this year. That was the biggest question, I think, that the White Sox had in committing to him. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce, but that's one of the reasons they let him walk away. And then he responded to that doubt with certainty this year. 14-8, he made 31 starts, 178 innings, and I think a lot of us in Chicago were waiting for him to break down. We're waiting for that report. Carlos Rodon is taking, you know, a little bit of a respite here because he has a dead arm. Never happened. And so the Giants benefited from that durability. Is it a high risk to go and give him a long-term deal? Probably, but I think in the marketplace he may be one of the more highly pursued free agent starters. It's going to take probably 4 years, would it, Bruce? 4 years,
do you trust
$80 million
it?
More,
do you trust
higher?
4 years out of his arm? I mean, he believe it or not, for as long as he's been around, he's 29 years old. So his arm might be 35, but he's a 29-year-old left-handed pitcher, dominant strikeout pitcher, dominant innings. I don't know. I think it's going to take at least three.
Well, we have a precedent with the Cubs in terms of Marcus Stroman, a front-of-the-line rotation. 3 years, $71 million, I think it was. Is that the ballpark that we would start? That's probably the neighborhood you would be shopping in for Carlos Rodon if you're the Cubs. And I think that you could justify that. If you talk about, okay, Jed, Mr. Hoyer, what does intelligent spending mean? Oh, Carlos Rodon, 3 years, $71 million. That would be intelligent spending for a team that needs a top-of-the-rotation starter. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, not only that, David, but it takes the perception of who you are while you're developing the Steeles and the Thompsons, along with some of those other young pitchers that we talked to Carter Hawkins about as far as the infrastructure goes. You put it with Hendricks and Stroman. So just think about a top of a rotation that would be Hendricks, Stroman, Rodon, not to even mention Steele and Thompson. You're looking at the Chicago Cubs in their division. I'm not saying they're the Braves or the Mets, but you're looking at them in the division in quite a different way.
Hayden Wesneski would like a word, Mr. Levine. I mean, I think that you talk about young pitchers that they have invested a lot of hope in. He is a guy that in the Scotty Efrost deal has stepped forward and demanded to be heard and considered. And by the way, a tough break for Scotty Efrost. You feel bad for that young man undergoing Tommy John surgery. But Bruce, let me ask you this, a follow up on we talk about the Cubs possibilities. Is there any chance the White Sox would enter those conversations, or is that a bridge that has been burned?
I don't, you know, you heard Carlos talk about his love still of the White Sox and that he didn't think they dropped the ball, that they just moved another direction. Why wouldn't they be involved, okay? He already proved something to them that they weren't sure of. He pitched a whole year without getting hurt, okay? So, again, we're not talking about a 35-year-old, 36-year-old pitcher, one-year deal. We're talking about Carlos Rodon, one of the top left-handed pitchers in baseball. I think any deal that's going to be, what would you say, 25 times 3 is going to be great for Carlos because he was already only having another year at 21. Whatever he's going to get is going to be gravy for him, and he's going to be already a rich man, a much richer man, and with a better contract.
Before we get out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767, got to ask you about this, though, Bruce, because Gord Whitmire, who has been around the team a long time and wrote on NBCSportsChicago.com, the headline to his column on Tuesday was Why You Can Cross Carlos Rodon Off Hoyer's Free Agency List, and he referenced the exchange that we talked about when asked about adding a top-of-the-rotation starter. Jed pushed back a little bit in the answer that I say I think it's important we continue to add quality innings, which I think is talking around it and not directly answering it, but I think the interpretation by at least Gordon was, nah, not this offseason.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think, you know, hearing the same conference with Gordon and sitting and listening here to Carter Hawkins, I think he agreed with the premise that we laid out to him that to be able to predict what the Cubs are going to do is not predictable at this point. I think they're open to a ton of things. If they're open to Jose Abreu for a two-year deal, let's say, or a year with an option, why wouldn't they be open to Carlos Rodon? Why wouldn't they be open to winning while rebuilding? Is there any type of rule written down somewhere that you can't win while you're still completing what you consider to be a rebuild?
How many ex-White Sox people do you need in your organization? What's next? Hiring Nicky Delmonico to be the hitting coach? Come on.
I mean, all right, so look, David, I don't think in this day and age, the Cubs and the White Sox, they don't care if they trade with each other. They don't care how they're perceived in the town like it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. They just want to make their team better. Now, you know, do the Cubs regret the Jose Quintana trade right now, you know, when you have one of the best pitchers in baseball, you know, pitching for you, almost a Cy Young Award winner. He probably won't make it. It'll probably be Verlander, but he's going to be second. I mean, that's still a pie in the face. You know, there's no question about that, but you got to do what's best for your team.
And no, Sean Sears, producer, Drake LaRoche will not be the first base coach, so stop that. Before you even start it, let's go out to the phone lines.
He's their leader, though, David.
He is a very good leader, and they do need leadership. Exactly. Score listener in line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. That's where we find Don, who is in Burr Ridge. Don, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, I love the show. I listen to it every Saturday, no matter what. I might be working around the house, but I'll have the radio on and listen to you. It's the best show of the week.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys are talking about free agencies with the Cubs and what to do. I hope the Cubs don't go the route of what the White Sox do. And what I'm talking about is, like, they've talked about getting Bogarts, signing Bogarts. I'm 100% against Bogarts. His defense is poor, and that's where I'm getting it with the White Sox. Sox have terrible range and defense, and that's one of their Achilles' heels. I think Correa is going to ask for too much. If they're going to go for a shortstop, Trey Turner is probably going to be a higher price guy, but Dabney Swanson would be a great pick for shortstop if you're looking at it. As for Jose Abreu, 15 homers at first base, he had a nice on-base percentage, but I don't see it coming back. Maybe he will. I mean, how many guys do? But I would rather have a young guy come up and go from there. I don't think the Cubs are close enough to winning it, being a winning team. So,
thank you, Don. Appreciate the phone call. Bruce, I think that Xander Bogaerts is a guy that will get a lot of attention. You wonder about where he would fit in the Cub infield. But let me ask you about this, following up on that idea. Carlos Correa announced this week, or the news report was, he will opt out of his Twins contract, putting him at the market, on the market, and I think should be at the top of the Cubs list. Do you agree?
I do not, only for the reason that when I went, you remember when I did a little one-on-one with him about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and he did the entire interview laying on his back on one of these little mats that you move up and back on to get the pressure off of your back, and he spent like a half hour on that mat down there, you know, trying to relieve the pain. So he has a chronic back issue. He is a tremendously talented player. He is an interesting guy to have on your team, but I just don't think projecting 110, 115 games out of a superstar is a prudent way to go, okay? So I put a big X on him only because it's not his talent, it's not his personality, he's got all that. I just don't think you can count on the games from Carlos Correa.
Well, your back would hurt, too, if you had to carry the Twins without Buxton as often as he had to carry the Twins without Buxton. And Buxton, he only played in about 90 games. So, Carlos Correa, Bruce, did you see him on TV? He's perfect for the Marquee Sports Network. He is the star they don't have. He's a superstar. If Carlos Correa is on the list, Bruce, you go after him.
I agree with your premise. I do not agree with the end result because the Cubs do need a superstar. They do need to keep the fans' attention. They do need to keep those 32,000 coming out every day to Wrigley Field. They'd like it to be back to 40,000 where it was before. But I just don't think you're intelligently. They use the word intelligence and spending.
Yes.
I don't think it is. Although he did say while he was doing that interview on his back that he will continue to look up to me in the business. So that was a very nice thing.
Whether he's on his back or just figuratively, Bruce, I think we all look up to you.
He's a terrific interview. He's a terrific player. Just doesn't play enough games.
Okay, we will disagree on that as we move forward. And you know what? We're like the Yankees. We're like the Dodgers. We don't have a closer. We need your help. So help us close out this show. 312-644-6767. Who has the best thoughts about Bruce's report that the Cubs are going to go after Jose Abreu? What do you think about Carlos Rodon? And do you agree with me on Carlos Correa? Let us know here inside the clubhouse. Final segment, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, just go get it. So, I'm the product here. And if they want my product, you know, they just got to come get it.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine. Yes, that's Carlos Correa, the top product on everybody's wish list, shopping list this offseason in free agency.
I don't want a box three quarters filled, David.
How about
I want a full box.
I love that confidence. I love that swagger. I would love to see him in a Cub uniform. Before we get out to the phone lines and you weigh in, 312-644-6767, want to remind scoreheads out there, you can join Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody, Double G, as Chuck Swirsky called them the other day, for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show on Tuesday night at Broken Barrel, located 2485 Southport Avenue, 7 to 10 p.m. While you're enjoying the broadcast, enter for your chance to win future Bears tickets and other great prizes. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller time. That's a show you don't want to miss, and you don't want to miss this one either next Saturday, but finish up strong here on the Score, 312-644-6767. Let's start with Todd, who is in Dwight. Todd, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dave. You might remember me. I'm actually, I call your show a lot. I'm the Browns fan, but I'm also a huge baseball fan. I'm actually a White Sox fan, but I'm not. I'm going to give you an outside perspective. And Bruce, honestly, you're the best. I know you hear compliments, but I love your guys' show. But as an outsider looking in, I'm jealous because the Cubs have, I think, unlimited options, and I feel like the Sox really don't. I don't think they're doom and gloom like some Sox fans, but I think they are pretty hamstrung. But here's my point. I think Abreu, like you were saying earlier, I think he's the perfect fit for a 1 or 2 year deal, or, you know, and I know other people want him because he is such a strong clubhouse presence. My big comment was, again, as an outsider looking in, I think they're, and I know you won't like this, Dave, I think they're a year away from going out and breaking the bank, and here's my reasoning. I think you've got to start in shortstop. And I don't see Carlos Correa. Now, is he better than Nico Horner? Well, of course, but I don't think he's $300 million better. And I would focus as an outsider looking in, do what you got to do to bring Ian Happ back. And then, Bruce, you would know better than me. Is this even possible? A lot of times go out and test free agent, they don't see what they want. Can you go to Contreras and tell him, hey, if you opt in, we'll give you another $5 million and kind of turn it into a one-year prove-it deal and then keep Contreras, and then, you know, you can always add more pitching and then see where you're at the break, and then if you're right there, then you go out, you can trade or go out and get some big name, and then you still have all that options next year. But I know, those are my thoughts. I'm jealous. I think the Cubs are going to be a fun team to watch over the next couple of years. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Todd. Bruce?
I have it on good authority that the Cubs would love Contreras to accept the qualifying offer because it gives them a good offensive bat. It gives them flexibility at DH and catcher. It buys them one more year of developing another catcher in their system, and that might be Amaya if he ever gets healthy because you have Yan Gomes for one more year at age 36. The breakdown this year was 71 games caught by Contreras, 69 caught by Gomes. The rest, I think, pick up by Higgins. But I think they would love if he takes it. I just don't see him, taking anything less than a 3 or 4 year deal somewhere else.
I would love Wilson Contreras to bet on himself, 1 year deal. Contreras, Abreu, Correa, Horner at second base, keep Wisdom. That, to me, is your best Cub infield for 2023 opening day. Let's close out with Ron, who is in Lake Moore. Ron, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. Ron, are you there?
Ron, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, yep. Hey, Ron.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. I love all the free agent talk you guys are doing, but what about this trade possibility? I've been seeing this guy could be rumored like top five trade target for some teams this offseason with Carter Hawkins' connection with Cleveland, Yan Gomes' connection with Cleveland. What do you think the Cubs could possibly flip to get Shane Bieber?
Bruce, I don't think that's realistic. Do you?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they have a wherewithal to trade what's the beginning of a really good-looking young farm system for Shane Bieber at this point. Bieber fits in any time, okay?
But, of course. Why would you get rid of him?
But trading your inventory when you're still not fully stocked on the shelves from that inventory, probably not the right time.
And I also think we don't know how Cleveland would be ending this season. Maybe they will be ending it after celebrating a pennant. That is still possible right now. And so I just don't think it's realistic. The Cubs are more likely to supplement the rotation by buying a pitcher rather than, as you point out correctly, Bruce, giving up assets that make themselves, you know, that give them hope for the future because they have a farm system now that they feel very good about and they've replenished.
Yeah, again, we're always reminded, though, in closing, David, that developing farm system players is all about developing, getting them up to your big league team, but also using them for trade bait. No better example than the Cubs when they, you know, they traded Gleyber Torres to the Yankees and then eventually traded Jimenez and Cease to the White Sox.
Bruce, I want to recap here because we talk about good performances in October. You had a stellar day. You reported that the Cubs will have interest in Jose Abreu. That was at the beginning of the program. You talked about Carlos Rodon being a potential target, top of the rotation, guy who makes a lot of sense. And also, Wilson Contreras, the Cubs would be open and even receptive to the idea that he would sign that one-year qualifying offer. That, to me, is also news. Thank you for your insight today and the information, because this has been a fun show.
People, to thank Sean Sears, a great job as our producer every single week. We thank Carter Hawkins, the general manager of the Cubs, Chip Carey, the great broadcaster of Braves baseball, our good friend joining us. David, people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, on our website at 670thescore.com. Have a great week.
Have a great week, my friend. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Stay tuned right here at 670 The Score. Steve Rosenblum next. He's got Cam Allis and Mark Grody as his guests starting at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to you next week. It's David Hoff and Bruce Levine inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.